Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Hope is Alive, and we thank you for joining us, and we'll bring them in on. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening. I'm here, raring and ready to go.
Awesome, awesome, and good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
Amen. And if it's all right, I would like to start out with a scripture verse. I was in Luke reading about the prodigal son again, and I flipped a couple pages back, and it's Luke 10, and I'd like to read verse 21, and it's the words of Jesus. He says, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing to your sight. And when he talks there about revealing them to infants, you know, the word says we have to be like children. And children, they believe you. They're wanting to learn. And they are. They're just geared that way. Their minds, when you look in their eyes, you can see the wheels spinning back there. They're learning. They're wanting to know. They are just they're like an open vessel just to pour water, to pour knowledge into. And I think part of what Jesus is saying here is right up above it, Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you authority. And he's speaking there to the 70. And, of course, we are the modern-day version of the 70 as believers. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. And if that is not encouraging to you today, that there is nothing that the enemy has that you don't have power and authority over as believers, then nothing's going to encourage you. But this is encouraging. And so I know it's a mainstay. It's a solid foundational scripture as part of the ministry. But you know, all the rest of them over it just support it, and it's an encouraging scripture. So thank you for the time.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing that, Richard.
Yes, Richard. Awesome.
Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive. The show about testimony. And what are those testimonies? Those who have been set free from that which you oppressed them. Good evening, and thank you for joining us. I'm Ralph. Of course, this is Pastor Cox joining me. And we say, thank you for being here. Pastor, we had a great, exciting weekend, did we not?
You sure did, and we needed reinforcements, too.
Yes, we did.
It was a great weekend.
Amen. Yes, we did. And what we are talking about, folks, is a group of us had got together in Oklahoma City this weekend. Our main mission was to seek the Lord, to pray and fast for this country, and just for general direction. But we also got together and helped each other out with a few things. Some of us had prayer for some minor health issues. A couple needed deliverance. And we set some captives free, and we set some captives free again. And it was a great thing. And I thought of this verse tonight as I was reading in Philippians. Do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit. I'm sorry, Philippians 2, verse 3. Do not do anything from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regarding one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own interest, your own personal interest, but those of the interest of others. And that is what we do when we do deliverance. We put the interest and the needs of others above ourselves. And luckily and thankfully and praise God that Luke 10:19 is still in effect, and the commission to go out and cast demons and evil spirits is in effect, because that is what we do and what we promote and let people know about on this program.
Amen. And, you know, once the smoke cleared and I got the final number on how many we did Monday night, we actually had a total of 29. 29 people that had come for deliverance and physical healing, emotional healing. And we're sure glad to have the Scriptures for America men in town to give us a hand. We needed extra ministers. We wound up having a total of 21 ministers plus two that did groups of four. Loopy did a group of four in Spanish, and then Chris did a group of four in English in another room. So it was a busy, busy evening, but it sure felt good, praise God.
It did. It was
happy
like we
people.
Got called up. It's like we got called up for the minors to get into the big leagues. But, you know, the thing is even though those at Deliverance Ministries do more, they might have a little bit more experience than most of us or some of us that were there. They don't have any more authority than we do, correct?
Well, that's absolutely correct. That Luke 10:19 still performs itself with any Christian that will speak it out. Hallelujah.
Yeah. And I was happy to participate in a couple, well, to lead three deliverances and help you with a deliverance. And out of those four, we had two demon cases come up, and another one come up as I needed some ministry. So it was pretty interesting. And it just goes to show you that sometimes spirits, even though they've left, can come back and affect you, come by assignment. That's what I think we found out with mine, is they were there by assignment and to try to block me and take me out and keep me from getting fulfilling what the Lord has adorned me to do, anointed me and to do. So it's an important thing with Christians, and just it's really encouraging to get together with others of like-minded believers and to help each other out.
Yes, the anointing was, you know, it seems like the more you have in agreement and a single purpose to minister to the brokenhearted and set at liberty those who are bruised, the more the anointing seems to rise. And of course, we had some good praise and worship before we got into ministry, but the anointing was definitely there, and it was just a marvelous evening. I went home on my usual high. And just to stay in practice, I did one today, and I got the head demon up in that one. Praise God.
seems like the week for that. And you know, he's talked about this several times on the broadcast, but the head demon the head demon technique is just a quicker way to get through it, because it's easier if you can find that which is in charge of all the things affecting them, and they're underneath their command. It's just an easier way to wrangle them up and get them out than going through one by one, because you don't always know which one's the most tormenting of it, other than what the person that come from ministry writes down, and sometimes they'll write down something they feel is the most tormenting, and it's not what seems to be tormenting the most. So
yes,
it is a good technique. I'm pretty happy that I got to see it work. I got to participate in it and was able to bring it up on two myself, because I don't have a whole lot of experience in that area. I've only had it happen two other times, and so it gave me some confidence. It gave me a little bit more boldness, and I think it's prepared me for future deliverances in my area if they such arise.
Yes, and you know, all this deliverance situations, there is a head demon. It's just that, so typically, some people, really about two-thirds of the people we minister to, just are not sensitive enough to where we can get it up to interrogate it. It's there, but everyone's different in their sensitivities. But one out of three, it seems to work really well, and yes, is usually very efficient and where it's more lasting. So nice when it works. But two-thirds of them, we just work the problem list that they filled out. The person that wants a ministry, they usually circle at least three dozen, and we'll usually find those to be evil spirits. So praise God, once they're cast out, and they all are specialists. Every demon's a specialist, has certain function. But things like fear and anger and depression, of course addictions, etc. So imagine getting several dozen problems gone from a person, often in one session. It's a marvelous Jesus overhaul, amen?
Yes, it is. And you know they got to feel better after that. And I'll tell
there's no way. And they wouldn't.
I was performing ministry on a brother with the ministry that's more just a brother. He's a dear friend of mine now. And I won't give his name out because I don't have his permission to. But anyway, as I was interrogating the head demon, and I had to give out the top 10 lies it was feeding him. Out of those 10 lies, I think there was about 6 or 7 of them. I had heard this gentleman speak to me at one time or another, that he would say these things, and he was believing them. And then when I gave it into the storehouse of heaven and to get his God-given gifts that he was there to block, about 5 of those top 10, I'd already seen those and witnessed and recognized those were in him, but he was being hindered. So I praise God that we were able to get that, because I could see when we were all done, I could see a new boldness in him even just this weekend alone. And it was a great weekend.
Those lies are really, I think, on all Christians. It's just that, and I've had demons tell me they're having a hard time getting the person to buy the lie because they're too founded in the Word and standing on the Word. And you know, if you really got the Word inside of you and your spirit person, you're not going to buy the lies. But there's a lot of people that are not at that level. They hear those lies and think it's the truth. And some people even think it's God talking to them, telling them to do this or that, when it's actually the enemy. So it's a major thing to learn to perish those thoughts. They're usually negative in nature and pretty easy to recognize once you're onto them. Most Christians don't have any idea about the lie program, but it's imperative that Christians learn it, to recognize them and then perish those thoughts, cast down those thoughts, as the scriptures say.
Yep, extinguish them. And Pastor, before we get too far, I was excited about this weekend. I want to make sure I mention the website, deliveranceusa.com, and also you can get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. And we were using the techniques or the system laid down in Pastor's book that they've developed over the years. And a couple of men even went even further and put together some notebooks for us. So we had all this stuff ready, and ready. So we're in season and out of season, ready to perform deliverance. And they did a really good job organizing it for us. But but all of that stuff is the handouts was from handouts they had gotten at the ministry there, and every one of those handouts is right on the website deliveranceusa.com. Everything's there for you, for your disposal, for just a click of the mouse and print it right off. And if you don't have a computer or you just want the book, You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office there at 307-742-7582. Let him know you like that. I believe we ask a $20 offering for it, and he will get it sent out to you. So I just want to make sure we mention that before we get into our phone calls, because that's just as important as the testimony, is letting people know how they can get the help.
Yes, and they'll find it on the website under Ministry Tools, many handouts they can print off.
And it was just a great weekend. I did stumble a little bit. You changed up a few things that I hadn't used, and I hadn't seen your new checkoff sheet. So it kind of stumbled me up a little bit, because I thought I was going in order, and I was like, oh wait, that's not it. No wait, we'll go back here. But that was just them perfecting what they have found works out better, and it was just hadn't had a chance to see. But Pastor, we have our first caller, Chuck. Thank you for calling us this evening.
Hey, thanks. Here I am.
Yes, hi, Chuck. I appreciate you calling in. And, Chuck, you might back away from the phone some. It tends to distort if you speak either too loud or too close to the phone there. But I'm so excited you called. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you good. Can you hear me?
Yes, that was much better. Well, why don't you go ahead, Chuck, and give some background on yourself, some history, and when you were born again, and then when you learned about deliverance, and then share any experiences you'd like to.
Yeah, well, I was exposed to the ministry because my next-door neighbor happened to mention it, and I was interested in it because I've been recently... been through a rebirth experience, but I was born again back in 1992, and so I've been a believer all this time. I just had some pretty big trials I was going through, and I just thought it might be a good thing to go visit your ministry and get all that I can from God, basically.
Praise God. So when you came, why don't you talk about how it went?
Yeah, mine was fairly uneventful, very peaceful, and a very thorough process. I was well prepared because I went on to your website and got the door closing prayer and went through that at home before showing up for ministry. And I had been really seeking God pretty heavily for the last several months, and spending a lot of time, you know, in the Word, and also in praise and worship, you know, in my own personal time. So my experience was fairly uneventful and very peaceful, but I felt there was really good value in it. And then following that, I noticed, you know, a couple of weeks afterwards that the Holy Spirit had brought to me more detail about cleansing that I needed to do, and, you know, confession and repentance of things. And so I think that was jarred loose by my experience, you know, at your deliverance ministry.
When you came, Chuck, you were given a clipboard with a two-page list of problems that people typically have. Were you able to circle quite a few?
Yeah, I circled a whole bunch just because I wanted to make sure I covered all my bases. So I probably had 60 or 70% of the issues circled on it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as I tell people often, it's better to overpray than underpray. It's better to circle too many than too few. No downside. We don't charge by the Spirit. That's a joke.
Right. And so I agreed with that, basically. And like I said, I circled at least 60% of the issues on it.
Okay. And so your minister moved into Soul Ties, breaking after the interview part?
Yes.
Okay, how'd that go in the breaking of ungodly soul ties?
That was fairly uneventful, too. I was able to remember all the things that I really needed to for that. And so the prayer was, again, very peaceful and very easy to administer.
And then did you get into some inner healing of memories of the past, traumas of the past?
Yes, I certainly did. I've had my share of, upheaval and trauma. And so, yeah, we covered all of those bases during that time.
Praise God. And so when your minister finally got to working your clipboard with those problem areas that you'd circled, were you able to feel any of them come out, or how do you know they were going?
The only experience I had was a burp, but again, I was well prepared in advance, so I don't feel like there was a whole lot to deal with, actually.
They came out pretty fast.
Yeah, there was no struggle involved.
Yeah, that's the beauty, of course, the door closing prayer. It takes about 15-20 minutes of going through and repeating, and that involves breaking of all kinds of curses, generational curses, witchcraft curses, any kind of curses, and then also canceling any satanic assignments as well that may have been put on you out of Satan's war room. But then repenting closes a lot of those doors. There's 15 doors that we've learned about over these years. And so the idea is to try to get those doors closed the best we can before ministry. And as a result, the spirits typically don't have much fight left in them, and they're easy to cast out.
That
Monday night you came, did you ever hear any outcries or any struggles or anything of the people that were there around you?
Oh, yeah, there was several, probably three or four different people that were struggling over the casting out of demons. And it was interesting to note, but I'm glad I didn't have to do that, but I'm also glad that they got the liberty they needed.
Yes, and of course it varies with each person, as we often marvel as among us as the teams, the ministers, how everybody we minister to is different from the last one we ministered to. The good news being, what is not different is the power that we have in Jesus' name to deal with them. It's just the sensitivities are different in each person, and where they've come from, the traumas, the degree of traumas they've had, and so on. Many people had a tough start in their lives, kind of a tough situation with parents and so on, and just didn't get a good start. So they often have quite a few bad memories or traumas that need to be dealt with, where Jesus supernaturally will take the bad feelings associated with those events. It's amazing to see Jesus taken. It's supernatural. It's called inner healing, and that deals with a lot of stuff that otherwise the demons would be feeding off of. Well, praise God. So at the end of the evening, how'd you feel, Chuck?
I feel great. I'm continuing on with the training, and so I hope to get that completed, in the next couple of weeks here and be a follow-up minister.
I'll bet you, I can tell you're charging and ready. You're going for it.
I am. I'm on fire. I'm ready to go.
You sat in with me this last Monday, in fact, we went through the steps with that young man, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but he certainly looked better, didn't you think?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. His countenance changed a great deal, and so did the way that he spoke. He received some pretty serious healing, I think.
Yes.
And deliverance.
Yes, I thought. Yes. Yeah, it's at the end of all that, I usually say to the person, you got to be better some way.
Yeah.
I spent a couple of hours going through these steps. There's no way we wouldn't hit something and enable them to live their lives better and starting to live life abundant, praise God. Well, that's, are you starting to share with any of your friends about this type of ministry, Chuck?
Yeah, I've shared it with my pastor and a couple of other people, and trying to encourage one guy that I think could really benefit from it.
Yes, there's so many, and I was one of them. Up to age 44, I didn't know anything about all this. I didn't know the spirit world was doing all kinds of stuff and bad stuff, you know. The demonic world all around us, had no idea. And once I saw it, and evil spirits talk out of Christians' mouths even, it soaked into me, if I'm in this war, maybe I better learn how to shoot. And that was 40 years ago now. Been shooting ever since, Chuck.
Yeah, I think you probably learned most of this the hard way, and we've benefited quite a bit from all your hard lessons about it. But I'm really glad that you pursued it.
Well, I've been selfishly driven, Chuck, because I'm on such a high after a ministry session. And, you know, then after a couple of days, that high will kind of drop off, and I need to do another ministry session. So that keeps me at it, praise God. Well, have anything else you'd like to share? We still got a few minutes that comes to you, to the listeners.
Well, I'd just like to point out that you have a lot of really good resources on your website, and it's worth anybody's time to get on there and take a look and see what you've got and read through some of it and put some of it into practice, you know, before you even show up for ministry, because I think it's very, very beneficial.
Yes, we've actually got 4 hours of teaching and deliverance on the website, and we get reports from people that just did that, sit down. The nice thing about it, you can stop it, you know, with the cursor anytime you want, and then continue, and if you, you know, have some yawning or something, or spirit didn't quite come out, you can just stop the computer and use the Bible on yourself. We found that touching with a physical Bible tends to drive them out. They, of course, don't want to hear the word, but they don't even like that physical word. I learned that many, many years ago, probably over 30 years ago, from a pastor in Arkansas, and he had said when person feels a spirit moving in their body, and there's a lot of people that do feel them moving, that if you would take the Bible and touch on that spot, the spirit would run from it. So I started trying that, and it really worked well. So somebody says it's over in their left shoulder, I touch the Bible over there, and then next thing they'd be saying something like, oh, it's up here by my neck now. So I'd move the Bible, and then they might say it's up the top of my head now. In that case, I usually just open the Bible and put right on the top of their head. I know it looks really kind of funny, but it sure works good, and it usually blows out in 2 or 3 seconds. So we've got lots of weapons from the cross. I just praise God for all that we have, all the tools and the weapons that we have from the cross to deal with the spiritual enemy. We are loaded, hallelujah. So all we need to do, all Christians are already licensed to do this, as believers, of course, as Jesus said in Mark 16:17. So it's just a matter of getting some boot camp wherever you can get it and learn it. And on the website, it's particularly nice because in that in the ministry session, you can actually back it up if you need to, and then rerun it. and back it up again if you need to get that particular point down on doing it. And it's a great a teaching tool beside someone that's actually wanting ministry. So it sounds like you were already on there in advance. That's probably why your ministry went so well. You had a running start, Chuck.
Yeah, I feel like that was really useful. And also, you know, for anyone who's considering it, it kind of reduces some of that anxiety that you might feel if you get on there and peruse the, what's available on the website, do some reading, listen to some of the radio shows, and that sort of thing.
Yes, and of course, hearing testimonies, I know there's people that argue over the theology of this, this, and that, but you sure can't argue with testimonies. You, when the person says, well, my life was this way, and then after, and I felt these spirits come out, and now here's my life today and how it's changed, a guy can't say, no, that's not right. Well, you can't argue with the testimony.
That's right.
Kind of bypasses the theology that some groups have, you know, especially the one that demons can't bother a Christian. We've seen, and I've certainly seen over these 40 years, that Christians actually are the targets. Satan and his demons have already got the others.
I agree.
We are the targets, and they put assignments out to drop block a Christian's life, especially those that have lots of God-given gifts and are moving upward in the gospel and their destiny. Well, they put demons out on assignments. But the good news is, since we have ALL power in Luke 10:19, all we got to do is break the assignment and command the demons of the assignments to go. That's some of the easiest part of the ministry, is breaking and commanding demons of assignments to go. Did you have many assignments, do you remember, Chuck?
I don't think I did, but again, I was already seeking the Lord pretty heavily, and I think that my life was pretty well cleansed by the time I walked through the doors of your ministry. But I know that, you know, seeking His face and spending lots of time in praise and worship probably did quite a bit of cleansing just, you know, personally before showing up. But again, I did have experiences afterwards that the Holy Spirit brought to my attention that I don't think was adequately addressed, you know, during the ministry time, but I was able to hear and understand and do what, you know, I learned from the ministry about inner healing and experience more freedom.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, you're into it well. I love to see people like you that are really hungry, and they're reaching out. They want to know more. And praise God, it's all exciting stuff, isn't it?
Very, very exciting.
Exciting. I just praise, I've said this many times, but I just praise God over and over that somebody shared with me, because I could have missed it so easily. If my friend had not shared with me, and he was the reason that I wound up getting into this. But what if he hadn't shared? And look at all the people we would have missed ministering to as well. We did like 776 cases last year, and you weren't on the show, maybe listening earlier, but our total for Monday night was 29. That included the two groups, four in Spanish and then another four in English, and then we had a minister for the balance. So we it was a full evening, but look at just that one night, how many people were ministered to and how we could have missed it. So I just...
Yeah, well, I'm a firm believer, and I'm grateful for your ministry, and I will do my part, and, you know, whenever I come across somebody who I think would benefit from that, and I think I will, I'll come across quite a few people, I will definitely recommend it, and even escort them there if I have to, you know?
Praise God. Well, we're just about out of time for this part of the radio show. Chuck, we do thank you for coming on, and God bless you, and thank you for giving your testimony.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
God bless and good evening. Pastor, we have our next caller here. Brother Leon, thank you for calling.
Leon, are you
there?
Yeah,
I was talking to Leon. I think he's on now. Are you there, Brother Leon?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Yes. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Sure can.
All right.
Thank you for having me on this evening.
Yes.
No problem.
We were talking what a great weekend we all had, Leon, and we're still on highs from it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a good testimony, and I'd like to get started on it, if you don't mind, Brother Everett.
Well, sure, and you might start out giving a little quick history on yourself and, you know, when born again and how you learned about this works of Jesus called deliverance and physical healing. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm not really going to, I'm going to kind of take it a different direction, but you'll see in the end that it will work out quite well. You see, earlier tonight I was thinking about what I was going to talk about tonight at deliverance, and I was thinking about this or that or these scriptures, and then everything I would do, I was taken away from my wife. You see, my wife wants to be on the program, hopefully next week or sometime. So then the Lord just gave me a message, and this message is an important message, and that is what I'm wanting to bring tonight, is actually a message. Now, there's many among scriptures for America that this particular message applies to. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and just make the declaration, because I feel so confident that this is from the Lord, that I'm going to say, thus says the Lord, with this particular message. Now, I'm going to begin with by reading a little bit in Revelations 22:18-19. It says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of the prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which is written in this book. God is serious when it comes to adding or taking away from his word. Now, does this pertain to just the book of Revelations, or does this pertain to the whole Bible? I kind of think it pertains to the whole Bible, but it definitely pertains to the scriptures. Now, as I was thinking about adding and taking away from the scriptures, the thought came to me of Adam. You see, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, it's written in Genesis 2, verse 16 through 70, that the Lord spoke to the man and told him, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the good and evil. I don't have it open at this point, but I can turn to it real quickly. So that is in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. It says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat it, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. You see, Adam was given the instruction. Then Adam was to tell Eve the instruction. Satan is questioning Eve over here in chapter 3, and Eve says, you shall not eat from it, nor touch it, or you will die. Now, it's easy to imagine what actually went on here. You see, when God gave Adam the instruction not to eat of the tree, Adam wanted to put a fence before Eve, because he loved Eve very much. He didn't realize that he was adding to the word of God. So I'm sure he was thinking, hey, Eve, you see that tree over there with the knowledge of good and evil? Well, not to eat that. In fact, don't even touch it. Don't even touch the tree, Eve, because in that day we'll die. Satan knew that Adam had added to the word of God. And Satan was able to use that addition to get Eve just to touch the tree. Now, I tell you what, This is just a short little version, but Pastor Peters goes into very good detail. I can't remember the exact CD, but I'm sure that if you call or write or email Brother Richard, he would easily be able to get that particular CD for you. It's an excellent message concerning adding or taking away from the Word of God. Okay. Now, about a month ago, I happened to have the finish of a message was revealed to me, and I decided to make a trip out to La Porte, Colorado. And the message that the Lord gave me, which I think is a very important message for this time that we're living in, is called Claiming the Blame. And if you would like a copy of Claiming the Blame, I'm sure it's the same way. You can write Brother Richard at Scriptures for America or send an email and all that type of stuff, and they'll get it for you. But anyways, after the message, as I was leaving the church, a good brother stopped me. And this brother is a scholar. You know, I have a friend, he probably has a, you know, 200 or 300 scriptures memorized. I maybe have 3 scriptures memorized. Well, this brother who stopped me, I wouldn't doubt he's got books in the Bible memorized. He is a scholar. He is full of such knowledge and wisdom. Oftentimes, I've seen him actually online doing messages for either, I think he did some Sunday school messages, and once in a while he'll do communion. But he had a question. He had an excellent question, and unfortunately, I didn't have an answer. And the scripture does say, and it's not his fault that he had the question and I didn't have the answer. That's my fault. Because the scripture says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And that's in 2 Timothy 2:15. It's my fault that I did not have an answer. In fact, this question has been brought up to me before, and I did not have an answer then. So let me read the question. So let's turn to Exodus 20, and we will find the question there. And what this is a statement used to try to discourage people from going through deliverance. So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6, it says, you shall not worship them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of your fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generation, to those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So that is, and the question was given to me, okay, so, and I hope he forgives me because if I do not accurately state the question correctly. But his concern was, it's obvious that the curse will happen to those who hate God to the third and fourth generation. But how about showing the loving kindness to thousands? Can you explain that to me? How do those two go together? And I tell you the truth, I didn't have an answer for him. And to tell you the truth, 2 hours ago, I didn't have an answer for him. But all of a sudden, the Lord put the answer together in my mind tonight, and I had to get the message out there. So that is my testimony, is I have to get this message out to this brother who is listening. So anyways, what is going on here is I'd like to look at Samuel, chapter 8, verse 1 and 3. So we can have a better understanding of what exactly does that mean, showing loving kindness to thousands. So in Samuel chapter 8, let me turn that real quickly. When I do a message, I have all the scriptures printed out, so I'm just having to turn in my Bible. So Samuel chapter 8, it says, and it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. Now, I'm going to skip down to 3 because I have trouble with names. And it says, his sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside to dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Now, this is an interesting scripture because this leads into them selecting their first king, or God selecting their first king. So Samuel was a man of God. Samuel is actually the one that we get the passage that says, how can I cease to pray for you? And it would be a sin, is what he's saying. He's just saying it's a sin if he ceases to pray. Samuel was a praying man. He continued to pray for the people. But do we see a thousand blessings here? Yes. There is a thousand people that God has shown loving kindness, at least a thousand. You see, the problem with that question that he asked me was not that he asked me the question, but when he made the statement, let me turn to that real quickly. When he made the statement showing loving kindness to thousands, he implied generations. It does not say generations. It simply says, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Did Samuel love the Lord? Absolutely. Samuel had a heart for the Lord. He loved the Lord. Did thousands of people receive loving kindness? I guarantee you, Samuel was a praying man. And in his generation, thousands upon thousands of people most likely received the loving kindness of God. But what about the next generation? Samuel's sons did wicked in the sight of the Lord. They perverted justice. Even though Samuel, in his generation, was able to provide blessings to a thousand people, his sons wasn't able to provide that blessings. And we can look at other people. David, a man after God's own heart. When David provided blessings for loving kindness, God was able to use David to bless thousands of people in his generations. But when you look at David's children, some of them died before he died, and some died right after he died. Well, let's go to Gideon. Gideon was a valiant warrior. Gideon, I think it was, I may be wrong, but had 70 sons. But a short time after Gideon passes away, all he has, I think, is maybe one son. You see, so that scripture that we're seeing showing loving kindness to thousands is not thousand generations, but he's showing using the one man to provide blessings to thousands of that generation. Now, I will say this, there is one exception to the rule, and that is Jesus Christ. He provides blessings and loving kindness to thousands, but they still have to come into Christ. They still have to confess him as Lord, and of course have their sins washed away. I heard the pastor say this other day, it's not what the Bible says, but what does the Bible mean? Nowhere in the scripture do you see where one man is able to provide a blessing for a thousand of his generations. But that one man is able to do as he's told and pray for the people and provide blessings for thousands in his community, in his generation. Now I have, every generation has a choice. This generation has a choice. I keep going back to Ezekiel 22. Seems like every time I get away from Ezekiel 22, I come back to it. In Ezekiel 22, it says, I searched for a man among them who would build up a wall and stand in the gap before me on the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their way have brought upon their heads, because of the Lord. So So God is saying, I look for a man that I may provide blessings, but I found none. Is he saying that right now? Is he looking for a man so that he could be a blessing to his neighborhood, so he could be a blessing to his towns, so he could be a blessing to his state and to his nation and to his people? And is God saying, I found none? But the good thing is, the scripture says there was a one could chase a thousand, two 10,000. So if one could provide a blessing of loving kindness for a thousand, then it wouldn't be too much to say that possibly two could provide the blessing of loving kindness for 10,000. And the great and wonderful thing is, our God multiplies his blessings not by multiplications, not by additions, but by exponential. And if that was to continue on, if you had 10 people, you could provide the blessings for 10 billion people. I don't know for sure, but I think that'd be just about everybody on planet Earth at this present time. Every generation has a choice. The generation we are in has a choice. You can be a blessing for your neighborhood. If you love the Lord your God, you are obedient to the Lord your God, you will pray for your neighborhood. You will pray for your neighbors. You'll come up against those principalities that's destroying their lives, that's destroying their families, that's destroying their community and their churches. And you can make a difference. You can open the floodgates for at least 1,000 people, just like Samuel did. But when it goes to the next generation, they're going to have to stand up themselves. They're going to have to make the determination, I will serve the Lord. I will be obedient, and I will listen to my Lord Jesus Christ. Every generation has that choice. Nobody gets a free ride. Nobody. So make the choice today. Submit yourself to the God of gods and the King of kings. Be obedient. And follow his word and do what he says. Pray for what he loves. Pray for his people. Pray for your community. Get somebody to pray with you. Because if you can affect 1,000, and if you have 2, then you can affect 10,000. Or if you have 3, then you can make a difference of providing blessings to 100,000. But we all have the choice. So brothers and sisters in Christ, make the determination today to be a blessing to your neighbors, to be a blessing to your community, to be the man that's standing on that wall in Ezekiel 22. Be the man that God says, I can use him. Or be the woman that God says, I can use him. Stand between, on that wall, between your ancestors and your posterity. Keep the sins of your fathers from passing through you to your ancestors, to your posterity. You want to help your posterity? Well, keep the curses of your fathers and their sins from passing through you and directly affecting them. That is the way that we can be a blessing to that generation, by making sure they don't get the curses of their fathers passed on to them, but get the blessings that's passed on to them. So brothers and sisters in Christ, that is my testimony tonight. Every generation has a choice. You choose Jesus Christ. You be obedient. You make a difference. Amen?
Hallelujah. Wow, powerful word there, Leon. And that goes to the heart. And certainly, that's true for every person. We all have to make those choices and choose. Well, maybe I could have you on next week and you could give your testimony concerning the deliverance and experiences you had. Would you come on again next Wednesday, Leon?
Well, I know my wife wants to come on, so I need to reserve some time for her. She has a very good testimony. So,
well,
you know, I've been through deliverance about 3 times. I try to use deliverance techniques a lot. If I notice that my mind is not staying where it should be, or if I'm quickly get captivated by an image, I use the parasitic thought. We have to take those thoughts captive to the knowledge and obedience to Jesus Christ. We just have to. We need to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not going to be obedient if we're dwelling on thoughts that come from Satan. So I know that she is working up a testimony, so I would not like to take any glory away from her. She has an excellent testimony, and if I was to say something, take your wives up for deliverance. I don't think I've ever met a man whose wife went to deliverance and he's come back and said, I wish I wouldn't have done that. The scripture says that two become one. And I will say this for a fact. My wife and I grow together in deliverance and grow closer together and become one. That deaf and dumb spirit that sometimes causes where you can't communicate with your wife is gone. It's removed. All you have is the Holy Spirit and your own stuff communicating between the two of you. You can grow in Christ. And she can be my partner, and we can make a difference in our communities, just like everybody out there. So if you have me come on, it has to be after my lovely bride comes on. That would only be my only requirement.
I plan on Laura next, say 9:15 next year, Wednesday.
Sounds good.
I'll contact you on it for details. Well, thanks, brother. We're out of time. You were a blessing on the great word you gave us.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was from the Lord. And there was somebody out there who needed to hear that.
Receive it.
Okay.
Well, we all did.
All right. Well, thank you.
Good night, brother.
Have a good one.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And we thank everybody for tuning in. Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox is the book. DeliveranceUSA.com is the website. Have any questions? Just let us know from there. And we thank you for this evening, and we'll see everybody next week, and God bless.
God bless everyone.
10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions.
Overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing.